It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hello there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Really good.
Good.
Good to see you once again. Hey, this week you're going to give us some practical advice. So much to be afraid of these days. You're going to tell us how to be free from fear. Is it possible?
Give some insights, at least. Boy, there's so much of this. And, you know, fear takes on different appearances, too. You know, we've talked before about anger and how, you know, anger is a response to fear, response to fear and shame. So, you know, there is a lot of anger in the world today. And so people are, it's affecting our lives. It's affecting the church functioning. I want to talk a little bit about that later on. And then also just some basic things. You know, I think getting free from fear is another way of saying working out your own salvation, working out your salvation with fear. Oops, with awe
and
admiration, or if you've studied that, the fear doesn't mean that we're frightened of God, and but with awe, working out your salvation with awe, knowing that it's God working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Mm. So this is part of this is not a separate issue. This is the same, or goes right along with being free from fear. You know, we hear in the news and through social media so much anger, and I want to kind of focus on that a little bit this morning or today, and help to understand that. I have here starting off that isolation promotes fear, and then fear promotes isolation.
Mm.
And these lead to disordered personalities, and disordered personalities then just reciprocate these whole things. A disordered personality is a personality of someone who is isolated and fearful, and kind of brings out the worst in us, this idea of being isolated and fearful. I was looking at a little bit in the psychology of some of these violent mobs, the anarchists that we see on the streets and in social media today, and that's really got people rattled, and for good reason. So what is this about? These young people, mostly. It's interesting that these communist or socialistic anarchy mm-hmm. always targets the young. And these mobs come together over fear. Mobs are made up of isolated, fear-driven individuals. You know, and because they're fear-driven, they're illogical. You know, we've talked before about how the brain works, and your brain can't be logical and in fight or flight mode at the same time. Those are two different regions of the brain. So people who are angry and emotional and worked up can't at the same time be logical. So you see a lot of their political ideology is self-contradictory. You have fascists fighting fascism, and you have an abortionist marching for Black Lives Matter when it's highly disproportional, the number of blacks that are aborted, many more than of any others. So, so this is it's just not logical. And so we say, well, but they're coming together. Are they really coming together? The difference between, I think, a violent mob that seems to be unified in some cause, and on the other hand, a peaceful demonstration or a group of people with a cause, and they're being logical about the cause, is that the mob is driven by fear and therefore can't be logical. Well, why are they afraid? These are young people. We've talked about fear. All fear ultimately has to do with mortality and the lack of value, control, and power or resources. So where do we get value, control, and resources or sense of resources? Well, we get value, sense of value, control, and resource from relationships and from achievements. Other people, our friends, give us a sense of being valued. the idea of control is not controlling other people, but it's controlling circumstances that have an impact on me. And certainly one of the things we'd all like to control is how other people feel about us, what other people think of us. And that has, you know, has to do again with value and then the idea of resources. So why are all these young people so angry? And a simple way of stating it is that they just haven't accomplished anything in life. You know, someone was saying, talking about a young man who was struggling in some of these areas and had a counselor who's telling him, well, you know, you just need to feel better about yourself. Well, that's true, but you can't feel better about yourself if you haven't done anything to feel good about.
And yet they're taught in school that they're all victims and that they can't achieve anything because of the man, so to speak.
Yeah.
And that's why they need to rebel against these oppressors.
Right. That's the other thing we do. If we can't accomplish things, then it's sour grapes. You know, we insist that life didn't treat us right. And so we actually despise and those who have accomplished things. And then you want to tear what they've accomplished down. I don't know about you, Mark, but I was with a group of guys in school that we were not particularly good students. We were poor students, fooled around a lot. And
yeah, I was in the stoner crowd.
Yeah, we typically didn't feel good about. Yeah, we didn't feel good about going to school. That was mostly in a private school. I went to a public school for a couple of years, and that was, for the most part, not a good experience. But I did have this one homeroom teacher. I believe, if I recall, her name was Mrs. Noble, and she was the home group the homeroom instructor. If you know, if you've been through the public school, you've got this one that's kind of your home base.
Right.
That was at the last period or two periods of the day. And so the school day was over and we're all leaving and I got up to leave and Mrs. Noble said, Dan, where are you going? And I said, well, I'm catching a bus home. And she said, no, you sit down and we're going to do some homework. And I didn't know that she could actually do that to me, but she prevailed and I sat down and that became a pattern. It's just instead of going home on the first bus to wait and go home on the second bus and actually accomplish things. And then I actually did quite well in her class. And that gave me a reason to feel good about myself and feel good about going to school and achieving.
But in today's environment, it would be a rare teacher who would do that because they'd be concerned about a lawsuit or something, about the kids standing up for their rights and getting their parents involved. And it's a very different environment now.
I even had someone respond to a post saying, don't correct people. That's why people are depressed. Don't correct people. That's why people get depressed, which is just the opposite. If people can't be confident in what they do, if they can't believe there's a right way of doing things and they can do it the right way and achieve, then they get depressed. Depression has to do with fear and shame, internalized message of lack of worth. You know, the same thing is kind of happening in the church in some ways. You know, people are letting fear bring isolation, and then isolation in turn brings more fear, and then the fear, when we're acting in fear, living in fear, we can't be logical. When we're afraid, we don't think clearly. And so this brings about, in some churches, this fear and not thinking clearly in individuals, and even on a more macro level of church congregations, you know, we see in some instances a departure from faith and just basic teachings of Scripture. I'm reminded of, been recently reading a book, The Bible is History, which I believe was written back in 1950-something or other, but talking about how when the Assyrians were moving west and just conquering that whole perimeter of the Mediterranean and the Arabian Peninsula, when the Israelites, other nations too, but the people of God, Israel in particular, knew they were coming, they tried to put together booty to buy them off, you know, to forget what the Assyrians called this, but basically it, you could buy off the Assyrian army for a period of time. But eventually they were going to come and take what was left. But yeah, they would try to buy them off. And we see in some congregations and churches, it's almost as though the leadership is trying to buy off or stave off the wrath of humanism by compromising in basic beliefs and things like that, just out of fear. And so, of course, this is going the wrong direction. You know, we look at the trials and that the church is faced with, the world and the church is faced with, and we recognize that in other parts of the world, people have faced this for decades, if not centuries, these kind and worse, you know, to where people in some countries, North Korea, Syria, Pakistan now, China, and many other countries where being a Christian carries a death sentence. And it's just always been that way. In the West, we're not really used to that. And so when we see this coming, you know, it's easy to be afraid and to have a tendency to want to compromise. But these trials and difficulties in life can either drive people into isolation, can either want us to, you know, pull back and go into our little personal private ecosystem, or it can galvanize relationships. We've talked about in some of the previous shows about how the physical body, when there's an injury in the physical body, every cell in the body responds to that. It's pain in the physical body is one time that the entire body coordinates in a very significant way to address that pain, every single cell in the body. Mm-hmm. And the body of Christ follows that same pattern. So it can drive people into isolation if they allow themselves to be afraid, or it can galvanize relationships. So when we come back, I'd like to talk about how we can get the best out of that and not go into isolation, but use that, you know, allow God to use these things to galvanize us.
Okay, ways to get free from fear, the subject this week on the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. People are intrigued. They need counseling. You do individual counseling, marital counseling, doing a lot of counseling through Skype these mm-hmm. days. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Same phone number, 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, with about 6 years of more of these podcasts. Offices, Kirkland and Edmonds, and also Skype, as you say. Yeah.
Okay, back with more of Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169. Hello, this is Daniel Pryor, host of the Sound Mind broadcast show here on KCIS. Right now, I'm doing a lot of Skype counseling, and this is a great way to get counseling in this time. So if that interests you, give me a call at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169, or contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor, and now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, talking with Daniel this week about how to get free from fear. And tell us how to do that. Sounds like instead of isolating, we're supposed to get involved with others.
Yeah, well, I can give some basic ideas here. It's counterintuitive when we're surrounded by some of these things that are fearful, the anger, the rage, and this is so many other things have come from this too, you know, with all of this COVID, and some of these things have just gotten so mixed up together. Mm. It's almost like it's like the face of evil, but it has different facets. But this COVID thing too has caused people to want to, retreat, withdraw. And when we're faced with these kinds of things, that is our, to recoil is our first instinctive response to a perceived threat.
Yeah, I've thought of this COVID issue almost worse than the disease itself is the not a pandemic of COVID, but a pandemic of fear that has kind of gripped the whole world and gripped people's lives.
Yeah, that's true. One statistic that I read said that from the beginning of the COVID, which would be January, February, up through the month of, I believe it was June, there, because of actual COVID deaths, there was a loss of 700,000 human years. So the way they calculate the human years are that they take the death of the age of the person that died and subtract that from the life expectancy. And that's the number of years that are lost. So a person that's 80 years old, if the life expectancy is 70-something now, then it's actually a negative. But if it's a person that's 60 and they die and the life expectancy is 70-something, then it's 10 or 12 years of loss of human life. 700 years in that period of time from, let's say, January to June. But because of the shutdown, the tally is something like 800,000 human years of loss per month. Mm. So twice as much.
So the response has been so much more damaging than the disease itself.
Yeah, that's one statistic that I read. So
that brings a lot of fear and anger too, just because you see this happening. It's almost like everybody's drinking the Kool-Aid, and it's like you're purposely destroying our culture for something that is not that. I mean, it's a big deal, but it doesn't seem to warrant the kind of actions that our society has taken.
Yeah, and there's other things that are obviously mixed into it. Political, been politicized.
Never let a crisis go to waste. Yeah. That's kind of one of the main maxims of politics.
Yeah, but for all believers, this should be true, and that trials define our priorities. I guess that's probably true, tends to be true for believers or not believers. When, if we can think logically through a situation, difficulties tend to define our priorities and clarify the objective. Take, for example, a family that's maybe we're quarreling a lot, and then we go through a period of time where dad and mom maybe loses the job, and so we all have to pull together, and it redefines the objectives of the family and redefines the relationships. It clarifies a lot of things, kind of gets rid of the chaff in some ways. So trials, these things refine us, don't they? Scripture talks about the refining fire, the Holy Spirit, the refining fire. So we want to be able to get the best out of these. And so instead of withdrawing and isolating, as I said, into this tiny little ecosystem, me and what's comfortable for me, we should instead be looking to meet the needs in the lives of people around us. Now, that seems counterintuitive, but it's one of those biblical paradoxes that plays out in life every time. And even people who are non-believers understand this to be true, you know, that if you look to the needs of other people, you can't be afraid and be loving at the same time. Scripture says, perfect love casts out fear. I can't be involved in serving other people and meeting other people's needs and be afraid at the same time. It's those are two different parts of the brain. They just can't happen together. So looking to the needs of other people, getting involved in some involved in loving in some way. So I have just a short list here. These are things people can do. You don't have to go out of your home actually to do a lot of these. You don't have to go invest a lot of money or buy equipment or anything like that. These are just things that we can do if we will. Intercessory prayer. There's such a need for intercessory prayer in the church today. Around the world, the body of Christ is under attack. And so intercessory prayer. And when we're praying for people in that way, people in other countries, maybe you can't afford to send money. Most of us can't. But we can pray, and prayer is much more powerful than money. So making a daily prayer list, of our loved ones, our pastors, missions. You can go online and you can probably just Google missions to pray for, and you'd probably get just lists of hundreds of missions around the world that need, that they're just simply asking for prayer. They're not asking for money, just prayer. Prayer for the body of Christ, and prayer for the government. So those are things that people could make a daily list of prayer. And what does this do? Well, it gets me focusing outside of myself. And once I start focusing outside of myself, my world starts getting larger, and I, in, through those, through that serving, I get a sense of personal value, control, and power. How can, you know, value, that seems obvious, but how do I get a sense of control if I'm praying for other people? Well, first of all, there's a joy in that. And so I immediately realize that I have control. I can choose to have that joy by, by having that behavior. So that's a sense of controlling things that have an impact on my life. I can't change the reality necessarily of someone, a church leader in Pakistan or Syria. I can't remove the threat from them, but I can certainly be, through prayer, I can certainly be part of their experience of joy and peace. That's the way it works in the body of Christ. We're not just isolated here because we're on a different continent. We, the body of Christ, transcends these continental divides, and you can be on the other side of a the world from someone and be praying for them, and you can be a channel of peace and joy and comfort to those people just by being obedient and praying. So this would be a prayer list. Another thing we can do is to join a virtual prayer group or Bible study. For some of us, this is kind of a learning curve.
Yeah, my wife just joined Bible Study Fellowship virtually.
Oh, good. Sure.
And you can do that virtually now.
Yeah. And that's for gals. Is that Thursdays? Or
There's all kinds of different meetings.
Are they? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, and that's a great, you know, going through the Bible, because that was the next point I had, joining a virtual prayer group or Bible study. And what we want to do as believers is we want the Word of God in us and around us. And so when we want an atmosphere of God's Word. So this is the written Word, and it's also the rhema that we get when we're just meditating and in prayer and talking to the Lord and getting a sense in our spirit of direction and of guidance and of oversight. Just having, you know, the Scripture talks about, the psalmist talks about, you know, blessed is the man who walks not. You know, Psalms 1, it talks about his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. What is that, to meditate in the law of God? Well, it's just God's Word. It's just the way God works. Meditate on the way that God works, the way that God is. So what is the written Word of God? Those kinds of things, just having the Word around you and in you. Volunteering at other things, some of these things you have to be present, like a food bank. But, you know, even I've seen these food banks operating with, you know, social distancing and masks and those kinds of things. There are ways to get involved. And I would say that if fear is keeping us from doing these things, then our fear is way out of control. It's way exaggerated. We can't allow it to have this kind of an effect on us. And so if we want to get away from fear, and we want to start looking for ways to serve other people, because fear is turned in and it's selfish and it's self-preserving. Love casts out fear because it focuses out. And there's, you know, you do an act of kindness. As a matter of fact, we talk about the danger of getting the flu or something, but you get an act of kindness enhances your immune system. So strongest churches are still operating now at some level, and the body of Christ in these churches is functioning at a higher level now than it has before. At our church, the church I attend, I just recently heard that mission giving is higher than it's ever been before. So some of these strong bodies are actually functioning high right now. So find yourself a good strong body, and they'll either be streaming something or having virtual prayer meetings or something. There's something. I know some churches have completely shut down, but not the good ones, not the strong ones. And so God's shuffling the body of Christ. He's shaking what can be shaken. People of faith are finding joy, experiencing the power of God. So be part of it. Find your mission. Focus your mission. And, yeah, look outward. Let love cast out fear.
Okay, I like that. Hebrews says, lay aside every weight, and fear is definitely a weight that we want to cast aside. If you need to help, some help in getting free from fear, fear and anxiety, a real problem in our society, Daniel works with people on this, as well as many other counseling issues. If people want to get a hold of you, Daniel, how do they do that?
Yes, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Offices, Kirkland and Edmonds, and doing a lot of Skype counseling as well.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.